I'm joined by the stars of Educating Rita at the Rose Theatre in Kingston. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Hello.
My pleasure. I'm Stephen Tompkinson.
Hello, and I'm Jess Johnson.
Now, we know this production was going to be in March, back in March this year, and you've had quite a few changes to your schedule and plans, and the arts as a whole, obviously, is really really taking a bit of a beating over COVID. But tell us about what the original plans were and what you're now doing.
We originally started touring this production early 2019. And we did a successful first run of it. And David Pugh, our producer, wanted us to go again because demand was very popular for the 40th anniversary production. So we were sort of halfway through mounting a second national tour. And we played one night in Blackpool, and that's when Boris announced that lockdown was going to happen. So rather than just dismantle everything because the play is just a two-hander and just with one set, David put everything into storage. That's David Pugh, our producer. And we just waited for an opportunity where we could fulfill all the people that had bought tickets that we suddenly weren't able to play to. And we're determined, if we can, to keep all those dates that we had. Yeah. And try to play any other theatres that will have us. We think it's incredibly important now, and we have a show ready to go. We were invited to play at the Open Air Theatre in Cornwall, the Minac, which we did a couple of months ago. And it was just lovely to be back in front of an audience. And I think it's going to be even more special when we can get back to our original set and have four walls and a roof, call me old-fashioned.
It sounds amazing. And I know that a theatre in Cornwall is a spectacular place. And so lovely that you could do something.
Incredibly unique, isn't it?
Yeah, an open air.
Rainbows and dolphins and two named storms we performed through. So,
wow. Yeah,
we were quite proud. It was a real adventure.
That's incredible. I know they do a lot of Shakespeare there because you have this incredible sort of living set, if you like, behind you. But how fun to take this particular production there as well. But lovely to have you back in Southwest London, particularly. And also a very special year for the play because it's its 40th anniversary. I can't quite believe it's that old in a way, and it's so relevant today.
Yeah, no, it's incredible that I think it's obviously Willie's writing, and it still remains a universal story. You know, having a second chance in life or making big changes, it can just come at any age. And I think that's a wonderful thing about Rita, is that she's so brave, you know, and she completely, yeah, she revolutionises her life. And it's beautiful to see their relationship, her and Frank's relationship, play out together just in this small study that Frank has.
Yeah, a lot of people know Educating Rita from, the very successful film, yeah, Michael Caine and Julie Walters, but they tend to forget that it was a play originally, and it's just the two characters of Rita and Frank, and it's just set in Frank's office in the university, and you follow these two people who shouldn't really ever come across each other on paper before. But Rita's looking for this new start, and Frank is a bit lost in his world, and he's lost the spark of life, really, and he's a failed poet. He has a failed marriage behind him. He's drinking very heavily, and in order to make ends meet, he's taking on extracurricular work for the Open University, which he's never done before, and the first student that comes through his door is Rita. And whereas Frank has got rather jaded of teaching students how to answer university style questions in a certain way, he's lost that spark of individualism, and suddenly he gets a whole chance to find his mojo again and his lust for life, and the two characters become codependent on each other. It's a lovely journey.
And I don't think Rita actually realised the life-changing impact that seeking out an education is going to bring. I think she just thinks she's going to learn about some poetry and read a few books. And so, when her life starts to change, it's quite shocking for her as well. And all the warnings that Frank gives her, we talk about tragedy in there with Macbeth and everything. And so, yeah, it's an interesting journey that they both go on.
My next question was really, the characters are so fantastic. What are your favourite parts, both of you, of playing these particular roles?
Well, it's hard to pick out highlights, really, because I think once the play starts, you get on board this train and you just go with it, but you need to be there for the whole journey. So it's the whole thing that I thoroughly enjoy. I mean, now that we're in it's sort of third outing, we've made changes so we can stick to all the COVID restrictions. We're just running it through with no interval now, and we've got it down to 90 minutes. And it's an express train of a ride, really. So the whole thing becomes just more vital in a way, and much more succinct. And you can tell that the audience are going on a very different journey as well this time. But they support both characters all the way through, and it's a joyous shared experience.
Absolutely, and I'm for one, are really, really missing my theatre and my live interactions in those sort of environments. Now, I know that you're starting back at the Rose, as we said, very excited to have you back in Kingston. It starts on the 28th of October, so a Wednesday, and runs to the 14th, which is a Saturday of November. Just to put our listeners' minds at rest a little bit, what other measures are in the theatres to keep you safe and to keep them safe at the moment?
Well, we don't know yet. I mean, we don't get down to the theatre until Monday, so
yeah, I imagine we'll be talked through the everything once we get there. I mean, yeah. We're doing what we're being told to do. You know, which everybody else is, you know, washing your hands, keeping socially distancing, and we're doing all of them things personally anyway. And yeah, we'll find out at the theatre, but obviously, you know, it's social distancing and wearing masks and washing hands.
We're in the hands of the Rose Theatre, and however they want to play it for the safety of their patrons, we'll abide by everything that they ask.
Absolutely.
Definitely. I did want to just slightly backtrack and just say about, obviously, COVID in the arts. It's been a really, really bumpy ride for everybody. And I'm sure you guys are delighted to be, as I said, back on the stage and back in work and all of that. And you had a lot of time to reflect and rehearse by yourselves and stuff in the process. But how do you think theatre is going to be able to survive this? I mean, it will do, but what's your take on it? What would you hope for the future of theatre?
Well, you just hope that it keeps going. You hope that this bailout money will get to as many of the regions as it will in the capital. Mm. There are already quite a few regional theatres that have closed down. Southampton, Plymouth, Blackpool, we've heard now, has closed as well. And so many other theatres are making huge redundancies in their staff. It's very frightening times. But I think above all that will always be the will to perform, and for people to enjoy and suspend their disbelief and just, you know, take part in some storytelling.
And it is on a major positive note, you know, I mean, we don't know how long this is going to be here for. So it must be really difficult for theatres to plan for the future when we really don't know what that is. But I think if there are solutions to be found, we're in the right industry. We are creative people, you know. Been reading fascinating articles about, you know, the how you can change around the theatre spaces to make it, you know, more friendly towards social distance, and if this is something that's going to be more long term. But I just think if there are solutions, me personally, I'm just trying to be very positive about it and hope that it isn't going to be for a long time, and that we will manage to get back on our feet. And there's lots of exciting and new creative things happening. I think, you know, society is changing anyway. So if there are any changes coming in, that can only be exciting. And I hope that writers are scribbling away and writing some amazing scripts in this quiet period of time. And then hopefully we'll have some new exciting stories to tell as actors as well.
That sounds like a really positive outlook. I have two more questions for you. The first one is, over lockdown and over this strange period and in the lockdowns that we may well be going into and parts of the country already are in, what have you both done to keep yourselves positive and moving forward?
My cooking skills have improved no end.
They have.
And my gardening skills.
Excellent.
And you've been sort of homeschooling.
I did a bit of homeschooling, which I really actually enjoyed. And I can't say that I did a great deal because I didn't. I'd be lying. But we did do a little bit, and what I did, I enjoyed. And I read a lot. I got back into reading. I've never had enough time to really enjoy reading plays again. So I did some online courses with Open University actually, and so yeah, I wanted to stay creative. I'm an actress myself, but going to the theatre is a massive part of my social life. So I really do miss it. So reading plays just helped me sort of feel something that I was still in touch with theatre in a way. So that's been quite comforting actually.
Very, very good, wise words from you. And I'm intrigued by the cooking skills, Stephen. That sounds like an excellent skill to have honed over lockdown.
Yeah. you're
making
a lovely jus.
Oh, a jus. Good. Very. I think lots of people have really got into their baking. Quite a lot of guys have got into their baking, actually, and then bake-offs on. So there's all reasons to get in the kitchen and get in there and create some things. But I have no doubt the rest of the cast are now going to be requiring Stephen's cooking skills throughout the rest of the year.
Oh, well, that's good, because the rest of the cast's just Jess.
Well, there we go.
It's great.
Works out all right.
You can report back, Jess, on the cooking skills. That'd be great. My last question is just why should people go and see this particular production at this moment in time? Why is it relevant? We said obviously before, but why should they really get out into their theatre? Why is this the production to get back into the theatre to go and see?
Well, there's a reason that certain plays become classics and last as long as they have, and that's always down to the writer. And Willie Russell is an incredible writer. He meant so much to generations of people. He allowed certain people who didn't think they had a voice in theatre to feel represented. You talk about writers should always write about what they know. Well, Willie was a hairdresser himself for many years. He went back into education late and then became a teacher. So he's kind of been Rita and Frank, and it's a perfect two-hander, and it's an absolute joy to play. We've done it over 200 times now, but just can't wait to keep it going, because it's such a great night for us and the audience.